Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of your new favorite podcast to listen to while on the toilet. This is Film Book Cast. I am your host, your mentor, and your enchanting guru into flights of fantasy, Mike Smith. Join me, as always, as the man with the plan, the one, the only,
Mike DiCruccio.
That's right. Basically, if you've never heard of an episode of the Film Book Cast before, what we do a little bit of film news. Then we move on into our feature-length review. This week, we are reviewing Kingsman: The Secret Service, directed by Matthew Vaughn. After that, we talk about some recommendations, some movies that we have been watching, and we tell you if you should go see them. So, Mike, are you ready to start the show?
I am. Let's do it.
I'm excited. So let's move on into film news. First on the film news docket, Jay and Mark Duplass, directors of films like Cyrus and Jeff Lives at Home, recently creators of the HBO series Togetherness, which I've been watching, and it's quite good, have signed a four-picture deal with Netflix. Netflix is basically producing their next four movies. They're doing the same thing with Adam Sandler, who recently signed a similar deal.
Really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty big. That one got a lot of jokes. It's like, oh, Netflix is doing people a service by keeping Adam Sandler out of theaters for the next couple of years.
I mean, I guess.
But, I mean, this is pretty big.
Yeah, this is huge. I think Netflix has officially become not only just a platform, but a producer of content.
Yeah, they've really stepped up their game in terms of content distribution. I mean, this could be huge for, Jay and Mark Duplass were indie filmmakers.
Right.
Like small scale stuff. Cyrus and Jeff Lives at Home are their most mainstream works, and those
aren't very mainstream.
Yeah, they star a couple of big names, but like,
right, and that's about it.
Yeah, so this is big.
This is huge. Yeah, I was just having a discussion with a friend about this that you know, with Transparent or Jeffrey Tambor winning the Emmy, right? He won an Emmy for
Golden Globe.
Golden Globe.
Yes, and that's Transparent's an
Amazon
Prime original show.
Right, and we were talking about how these streaming services are now becoming producers, and now the Amazon just launched the new show, Bosch.
Okay.
Which my friend watched and said it's amazing.
Yeah.
And with that, and now HBO Go is now going to be able to, you'll be able to purchase just the streaming part of
HBO Go.
That's, we're in an age of streaming producing content, which
yeah.
is awesome.
I mean, deals like this with Netflix are sort of changing the tide a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Adam Sandler was once one of the biggest stars
but, yeah.
of all time. Like, back in the late 90s, like early 2000s,
right.
like, he would have a new movie every year.
Yep.
And he's still, like, his movies were still super successful. And now he's going to be making, like, you know, movies on Netflix.
Right, which is crazy. I mean, that, and every time you go on Netflix, there's a new Netflix original show that they've made.
That's true.
Almost every time you find
Seems
one.
Like it.
That, I've never heard of it before, but I found it, and it's made by Netflix, apparently. So I don't know, I think this is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, Jay and Mark Duplass were indie guys, and this could be big for indie filmmakers in general.
Right, yeah, I read a statement with the CEO or somebody from Netflix, and he said that indie film has always been a thing for Netflix, even from when they were still mailing DVDs,
right?
Which I think you can still do, which is crazy.
I plan to get that back.
To go back to the DVDs.
Well, yeah, because the streaming service is great, and I love Netflix's streaming service, but you know, it doesn't have everything.
That's true.
You know,
that's a good point.
It's a very limited selection, whereas DVDs, it's
everything.
It's basically everything.
All of the things. So yeah, this is huge for indie filmmakers. I hope this will give them a way to get stuff out there besides the regular just video on demand on like through your cable provider
right.
or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, now there's so many newer ways for
yeah.
film to be distributed. It's kind of nuts.
It's kind of crazy.
All right. Let's move on into some bigger news.
Mm-hmm.
The cast of Ghostbusters, the reboot /
sequel
or something.
So the
path this movie has taken is really strange.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was, like, for real, and then now it is, apparently.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dan Aykroyd has been trying to get Ghostbusters 3 made forever.
For all of the time.
For years. And it always seems like it could be close to being made.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point, almost everybody was on board except for Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And they were going to move forward without him,
mm-hmm.
and then it didn't happen, and then Harold Ramis died.
Right. And they kind of gave up.
And it kind of, so now, but they hired Paul Feig,
mm-hmm.
who is the director of Bridesmaids, creator of Freaks and Geeks. I really like him. I think his work is generally pretty good. And he had the idea to do it again, but with an all-female cast.
Which is awesome.
Which was, yeah, it's the first time that I was interested in a Ghostbusters reboot.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true, because I remember there was a rumor that Phil Lord and Chris Miller might direct Ghostbusters.
Whoa, that changes a lot of things.
Right.
But that would have changed a lot.
That obviously didn't pan out.
Right.
But now Paul Feig is doing it, and he announced his intention to do an all-female cast.
Yep.
Which definitely sets it apart from the original two movies. And it's being co-written by Paul Feig and Katie Dippold, who writes in Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
And the new cast is... Drumroll, men. Can you do a drumroll? All right. Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones.
Wow.
So basically the cast of Saturday Night Live.
Right, but whatever. It's amazing, so
yeah,
I'm down.
That's a really good lineup there. Especially Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones have been doing awesome work on Saturday Night Live.
They've been crushing it recently.
Yeah, especially Kate McKinnon. She's been doing great work for a couple of years there. And this is like their big, it could be their big breakout, so to speak. And
hopefully.
And Kristen Wiig's obviously.
It's Kristen Wiig.
She's
already made it.
She's already made it. And she's good. She's a good person to center this kind of cast around.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy, I think, generally works better in supporting roles. I'm not as crazy about her lead performances. But this, a group dynamic like this could definitely be.
I think it'll work out.
So, I think this is an awesome. Awesome cast.
This is great. This is a huge stride for female comedians.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it.
Yeah. This is pretty wild.
I saw a great tweet from, I don't remember who it was. It was, Ghostbusters being all women didn't ruin your childhood, your absent father did. I thought that was a pretty funny way to put that.
Yeah. I mean, there is people pushing back.
There is
this,
backlash. For no reason. Understand.
It's dumb. It's very dumb.
So. People, don't be upset about this.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. All right. That's the Ghostbusters cast.
Yeah.
So let's move on into
the biggest of news.
The biggest of news. The news that destroyed the entire internet. Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. What about Spider-Man? Tell me.
Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
My favorite superhero of all time.
Reasonable.
Who's right? In film, have not been available to Marvel before.
Interesting.
Are now available to Marvel.
Oh, man. This changes everything.
It changes the game. So basically, for those unfamiliar, Sony had the rights to Spider-Man, and they're the ones who've made Sam Raimi's 3 Spider-Man movies and Mark Webb's 2 Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Which that name is misleading because those movies are less than amazing.
I wonder if he got that job. We probably made this joke last time that he got that job only because his name is Webb.
That's not only have we made that joke, literally everybody who knew his name was Mark Webb made that joke.
Good. Well, now I'm part of that that collective. So good job, everybody.
Yes. So anyway, this is huge. So Sony and Marvel are basically going to be co-producing. Right. Spider-Man from now on. See, Sony is in a bad spot with Spider-Man.
Because they're Sony.
Sony's in a bad spot in general.
In general, yeah.
But with Spider-Man in particular, it seems like they've mismanaged that franchise for the past several years.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movies, including Spider-Man 3, which I think is underrated.
Yeah. I'll join you in that camp since we just recently watched it.
We did recently watch it, and
you've turned my opinion a little bit. It's still not good, but it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Spider-Man 2 is...
the best.
One of the greatest masterpieces of all time.
Yeah.
And then The Amazing Spider-Man was essentially a reboot when Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 4 fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
And The Amazing Spider-Man I thought was fun. It's solid, but it has a lot of problems.
It does.
And The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is just, a bunch of nonsense. The thing about those movies is there's good parts in them.
There's moments that I'm I enjoy this.
Genuinely really good stuff that just kind of gets convoluted in a whole bunch of mess.
In the Spider-Man
If those
things.
Movies were 90-minute romantic comedies with Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Right. I'm in.
Perfect.
Sign me up.
Perfect movies.
Yeah.
But in any case, fans have been clamoring for years. Sony has no idea what they're doing with this franchise. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Sony really does have no idea what they're doing with this franchise.
They've admitted it.
They've talked about spinning off of Spider-Man, doing the Sinister Six movie.
Right.
Doing the Venom movie, doing the female-centered Spider-Man spinoff movie, doing the Aunt May movie. They've had so many things that just don't pan out.
Right.
And most of them sound terrible anyway.
Yeah, I don't want any of those things.
Now it's come to it that Sony is essentially ending their Amazing Spider-Man franchise. Mm-hmm. Andrew Garfield is out.
No mas.
Mark Webb is out. And they're essentially giving Spider-Man to Marvel,
but on loan, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. So Sony still has creative control over the character.
Right.
And essentially what's going to happen, Spider-Man will appear in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie,
mm-hmm.
most likely Captain America: Civil War.
Right.
And then he will appear in his own...
Get his own movie.
In his own movie in on July 28th, 2017.
Right.
Is when that movie will come out. And that has actually pushed back several of Marvel's movies. They've basically rearranged their entire schedule just
to accommodate Spider-Man. Has changed just for Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The game has changed.
Yeah.
But the players are the same.
Whoa, man. Deep.
That was a MacGruber quote, by the way.
God damn it. I'm not surprised.
But... Yeah, so this is, I mean, as a Spider-Man fan, as somebody who's loved Spider-Man
since
I was a kid,
I'm very excited.
This is awesome. I'm really looking forward to just watching, like, Spider-Man pal around with Iron Man, that kind of thing.
It's going to be so weird.
Yeah, like, he'll absolutely be in Avengers 3.
Yeah, like, it's like guaranteed.
It's actually, like, it's set off a lot of theories about how the Avengers movies are going to pan out and how the universe is going to pan out. Because it seems like the way it's happened, like, the way the delays happened, now Inhumans is coming out after Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Okay. So now, after it ends, basically?
Well, they're never going to end, man.
Well, true.
This is an ongoing thing.
Yeah, you're right.
This is going to be a comics goes on forever.
Yeah, they're never going to relinquish these movies.
Yeah, until 60 years from now, they're going to do Secret Wars and just merge the worlds.
Just murder everyone. Oh, my God.
Murder everyone. Clean slate.
Clean start all over. Edge of the Spider-Verse. I'm in. That's the next Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nuts if they adapted Spider-Verse? And just had Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and this new Spider-Man.
Oh, my God. Just, it would be the best
actually,
thing ever.
Okay. All right. This is a scenario I want to paint for you.
Okay.
Okay? Spider-Man first appears in Captain America Civil War.
In.
He doesn't do too much.
He's just there.
He's probably not going to do too much in the actual movie. If you
right.
know that.
If it's...
Because Civil War starts filming in a couple months.
Okay.
So he's... I would imagine his role is pretty small.
He'll be in a few scenes.
Yeah.
Right.
But the famous scene in Civil War in the comic is Spider-Man... taking off his mask and revealing his identity to the world.
Right.
And here's my scenario.
Okay.
Spider-Man's in the movie. He's hanging around. He's doing Spider-Man things.
Right.
Helps Captain America out in a few scrapes.
Okay.
And then, at the end of the movie, Spider-Man has that press conference.
Right.
He's like, okay, I'm going to reveal myself to the world.
Yeah.
Pulls off the mask. It's Tobey Maguire.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That would be amazing. We're just going to forget, pretend Amazing Spider-Man never happened.
That's the idea.
And we just go up to the Sam Raimi. Yo, that's a genius idea.
Right?
I want that to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I want that to happen.
It sounds like Marvel is looking for somebody really young to play the role, naturally. So one of the names I've heard a lot is Logan Lerman.
Okay.
Star of Percy Jackson and Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, he'd be
like,
okay.
He definitely seems like he'd fit the part, but it doesn't, like, that's not casting that would excite me.
No. Anyway, that's like, yeah, that makes sense, but I'm not pumped for that.
Somebody else throughout, I think it was Slash Film, who pointed out Tyler James Williams, who played Chris, and Everybody Hates Chris, and is currently doing pretty good work in The Walking Dead, would be a great Spider-Man. And I agree. I think he would be awesome.
That would be great. I hope... And there's the clamor for Miles to not be Peter Parker and for it to be Miles Morales, who's the
Latino.
And
that is a thing. Miles Morales is the Hispanic African American Spider-Man
from the Ultimate Universe.
From the Ultimate Universe, yeah. So there are some who say maybe they should just do Miles Morales instead of Peter Parker, and I think they could do that.
They could.
They're probably not going to.
Right. I understand they want the Peter Parker that's who Spider-Man is for the majority of people.
I think how Marvel's going to play it from here on out is have the most iconic incarnation of those characters show up first. And then once those actors' contracts run out...
Start doing the other stuff.
Throw in the other guy.
Whoa.
So that's... Like, a lot of people think, like, once Chris Evans' contract runs out of Captain America...
Right.
Either Bucky or Falcon will take his place as Captain America.
Right.
That's, like, the idea. That
well, isn't Bucky the Winter Soldier?
Yes, but...
Spoiler alert for that movie.
But in the comics... In the comics, when Captain America dies, Bucky takes his place as the new Captain America.
Very interesting.
So
I hope they do the Falcon. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's the new Captain America right now.
Oh, well, see? How about that?
Comics are weird, man.
Yeah. timelines on timelines.
Yeah, right now in the comics, Steve Rogers is 90 years old.
Okay.
Because his Super Soldier Serum wore off, I think is what happened to
him. Oh, he just rapidly aged?
Yeah. So now he's like a really old man, and Sam Wilson slash the Falcon has taken the place of Captain America.
Okay, that's cool.
And the idea is that, I guess, Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky, has like 9 movies on his contract.
Whoa.
So now he's done with 2.
So he's got a lot more.
He could conceivably like do it.
Do
if,
more.
If that's the case.
That's cool. But what I was going to say is I really hope they Marvel starts taking the opportunity to include some more of the, like, minority people that are in the comics, like, you know?
Yes.
Falcon.
And, yeah, and I mean, I think, like, what I was saying about Tyler James Williams, obviously, he's black.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, this, I think Dan Slott, who writes Spider-Man right now, points it out, like, you know, Peter Parker doesn't need to be black. He needs to be a lonely, nerdy outsider.
Right, he doesn't need to be white, you mean?
Doesn't need to be white.
Doesn't need to be white. Yeah, and I hope Marvel takes note of that in the future, at least.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens.
I mean, Marvel's proved pretty good about, like, being colorblind when it comes to casting.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, like, Idris Elba played Heimdall in the Thor movies.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I hope he becomes Bond on a totally unrelated note.
We all do. Yeah. Apparently, anyway. I thought Daniel Craig had, like, two more movies on his contract, and I guess this might be his last one, Spectre.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that this is the last one.
Yeah, I thought he had another one, but I guess that's not the case.
Maybe not. Maybe after all of things failing, they change their minds.
I mean, Idris Elba would be an amazing Bond.
That would be great.
You know. And speaking of Bond, why don't we?
Okay.
Why don't we segue?
Oh wow, that was great! You totally lost me on that.
Whoa!
Good job.
Speaking of Bond, let's segue into our review of Kingsman: The Secret Service.
I've never met a tailor before, but I know you ain't one.
Come with me. What do you see? I see a young man with potential. Pull the hook on your left.
Oh, yes. Very nice. What does this do? Electrocute you?
Don't be ridiculous. It's a hand grenade.
Shut up. That is sick.
We are an independent international intelligence agency operating at the highest level of discretion. The Kingsman agents are the new knights.
You are about to embark on the most dangerous job interview in the world.
That was from the trailer for Kingsman: The Secret Service, its newest film from director Matthew Vaughn, written by Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goldman. It's based on a comic book by Mark Millar and stars Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, Michael Caine, Samuel L. Jackson, and Mark Strong, among others. So, Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about your relationship to the work of Matthew Vaughn?
So, for me, I didn't know Matthew Vaughn for like a while. I was a fan of Guy Ritchie, and Matthew Vaughn is...
Yes, Matthew Vaughn was
famously his producer.
Yes, and produced some of Guy Ritchie's best films, like Lock, Stock, and Snatch.
Mm-hmm. So I discovered Guy Ritchie first, and then, you know, I love those early movies that, like you said, Rock and Roll is probably my favorite one, even though that I don't know if Matthew Vaughn produced that or not.
I don't think he did. That was like 2008, something like that, right?
Yeah, it's more recent.
That was I think that was after Matthew Vaughn kind of left the producer's chair and started doing his own thing.
Started doing his own stuff. Well, either way. So that's how I've heard about him first. And then I found Layer Cake, which I believe is his first movie, right?
Yes.
That he directed by himself, that Matthew Vaughn directed. Stars Daniel Craig, and it's more of the same British gangster action thing.
Right.
But, like, way more awesome? I don't know. I don't know. That movie blew my mind, and I loved it. So then I started kind of not following him, but, you know, keeping an eye out for his name more often. And then Kick-Ass was awesome.
Yeah.
And then here we are with the Kingsman.
Yeah, I mean, I have I've always really enjoyed the work of Matthew Vaughn. I have very fond memories of being 16 years old and sneaking into the theater to go see Kick-Ass.
That's awesome.
Being so excited for that movie, and it delivered. That movie is like, I think that movie is still really great.
I haven't seen the first one in a while, but I'm sure it's good.
The first Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kick-Ass 2 was like,
whatever.
Like, that wasn't Matthew Vaughn. That was some other guy.
Not Matthew Vaughn. I
completely forget his name.
Yeah, just like the movie.
But the first Kick-Ass is, I think, really just so good, so funny, and it's so, like, the Matthew Vaughn shoots action so much better than most directors right now.
Yeah, he really does.
And he has so many, like, creative action scenes. And Kingsman: The Secret Service is based on a comic by Mark Millar, much like Kick-Ass was, and it has, I think, a very similar tone in terms of, like, Matthew Vaughn's stylization of the action, and it's just sudden bursts of ultra-violence that kind of come
like
out of
serious
nowhere.
Ultra-violence, but I don't,
yeah. So, I mean, Mike, what did you think of Kingsman: The Secret Service?
I enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I don't know what to say, besides that it's really good and a lot of fun.
That's the extent of our review.
That's it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Night, everybody.
See you guys later. No. Like you said, the style of it is what makes it awesome, I think.
Yeah.
Like, every action scene is also beautifully choreographed.
Yeah, Vaughn kills it. I mean, he really, like...
Yeah, he knows what he's doing when he's just going to have a room full of people killing each other. and the camera movements are really, like, jarring. You know, I don't know if that's the right word.
I could sort of see that.
But, like, it fits. It's not the, like... shaky cam of the Hunger Games where you can't see what's going on because the cameraman's having a seizure.
Should clarify, that's only the first Hunger Games, right?
Specifically referring to Hunger Games 1.
Okay, because the second ones are less like that. The first Hunger Games,
awful.
Lousy camera work.
You have that a tiny little bit in this one, but you could still follow what's happening with the fights and the action, which is cool. I don't know. It adds to the ridiculousness and the ultraviolence.
Yeah, it's a really well-choreographed movie. I think what gives it legitimacy is just the cast of older British actors who show up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Colin Firth in this movie is amazing.
Outstanding.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen Colin Firth, like, kick ass.
Yeah. Like, has he ever been in an action movie?
I don't think so.
I
feel like he hasn't. And so that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
He does great work here. He does some incredible action
stuff. I'd say
stuff.
It's on par with The King's Speech.
I would say it's better than The King's Speech.
Whoa, man. Whoa.
But that's me.
That's just you.
Michael Caine is also in this movie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great. Mark Strong, who's been in a lot of Matthew Vaughn movies.
It's the Guy Ritchie Matthew Vaughn.
It's nice to see Mark Strong play a role that isn't the villain.
You're right. That's a good point. I didn't even notice that.
And Taron Egerton is the central character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good.
He's good,
he's,
yeah.
He's a fun guy.
He was into it. I read in a review that this is his first feature-length or, you know, theatrical debut.
Yeah, I believe that. He didn't seem like he had an established presence, so to speak.
No, but he was great for being in his first movie.
Yeah, I think it sort of fits the character fairly well because he's like...
True.
Like, he's sort of learning the ropes of being in the movie business.
In the Secret Service.
And Kingsman is, it's about him learning the ropes of being a Kingsman.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Analysis.
And Samuel L. Jackson is the lead villain in this movie.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
He's really good, but so weird. I mentioned he's got a lisp.
Yeah, well, Samuel Jackson's character does have a lisp in this movie.
And, like, it kind of fades in and out a few times, and it's weird to hear Samuel Jackson curse with a lisp and stuff.
Yeah, I think it adds a lot of comedic effect to it.
It does. This movie is very funny, also.
Yeah. It is very funny. But I think what that does, it's like, so Kingsman the Secret Service is...
All right, now we're going to start reviewing it.
I am connecting thoughts right now.
Okay.
Hold on.
You can do it.
Kingsman the Secret Service is... essentially a 1970s James Bond movie.
Right.
And this is a fact that I've seen many reviews of the film, and also it is mentioned in the film several times.
Yeah, it is. This was a very self-aware movie.
This is Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan level craziness.
Yes. Like, even the watches explode.
Yes. And one of the things about those James Bond movies is that they have like one crazy maniacal villain, and that villain usually has some kind of strange affectation.
That's true.
And so I think the lisp of Samuel Jackson's character is meant as like an homage to that kind of trait.
And even his henchwoman.
His henchperson is classic.
His classic Bond
henchman.
She's named for what she does.
Yeah,
her name's Gazelle, and she has metal legs.
Yeah, like sword feet.
The sequel to Swordfish.
Yeah, that's like classic, like Odd Job or
Jaws. Yeah.
Those kind of Bond henchmen.
Right.
So really, this is like...
This is Matthew Vaughn's Bond movie he always wanted.
Yeah, which is... Hey, you know, he directed Layer Cake with Daniel Craig.
Uh-huh.
X-Men First Class was essentially a Bond movie with X-Men.
That's true. You're right.
Like, how many Bond movies does Matthew Vaughn have to make until we just let him make
until
a Bond
he
movie?
Gets him to be... He could direct the Idris Elba one.
Yeah, that's the one. Idris Elba and Matthew Vaughn. That would actually be a killer combination.
I would watch the shit out of that movie. That would be awesome.
And, I mean, this movie... essentially states in the context of the movie, like, modern day spy movies are too serious.
Yeah.
And it's time. Like Colin Firth even says, like, give me a maniacal plot with a crazy supervillain any day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
That's exactly what happens. I do like that. Yeah. They just straight up reference movies.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I don't know.
So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
In any case. It's a really enjoyable time. Matthew Vaughn is, I think, one of the better action directors out there today.
Yeah, I hope he gets a lot more, not just opportunities to direct, but I hope he kind of, like, I don't know. Like, I want to say he becomes more serious, but, like, half of the fun is how goofy and self-referential and ridiculous
it
is.
I mean, I think this is very tonally similar to Kick-Ass.
Right.
Partially because of Matthew Vaughn's sensibilities and partially because they're both based on Mark Millar comic books. So they have, like,
it's all coming together now.
Yeah, so they have the same kind of sensibilities, although this one seems, I don't know, Kingsman seems classier.
Just because of all the double-breasted suits.
That, and they're all British.
And they're all
British.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
true.
Kick-Ass pretty perfectly captured, like, kids like me who love Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, Kingsman is
captures the people that want to be James Bond.
Yeah, it's essentially what it is they're both wish fulfillment movies, which right. Mark Millar's comics are basically just that.
Okay.
I'm not that big on Mark Millar's writing. I think he's not a great writer.
Really?
He's had some good stuff. He did Civil War, actually.
Oh.
The Civil War comic.
Interesting.
And I enjoyed the first Kick-Ass comic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, most of his stuff I find, like, generally kind of repulsive in a weird way.
I can believe it.
Because it's a lot of it is based on shock value.
Right.
He also wrote Wanted, the comic.
Okay.
And
It's all making a lot of sense now.
Well, it seems like we both kind of want to get into spoilers.
Yeah.
So, let's do that.
Let's do spoilers.
let's get into spoilers for our review of Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Is this a good one?
Oh, this is the best. I read the review. It's the best ever on planet Earth. That's what that's what the review said.
No, the guy in his season said it was great.
We watched Breaking Bad last night.
Oh, my God. No spoilers. No. We haven't watched it yet. We T-voted.
We just finished the first season.
That's the best television I've ever seen.
The way they do it? And Gus?
No, we haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert.
Well, that's not a giveaway.
We'll talk about it behind your
season
back.
Season one, first of all, you're like, what kind of a show is it? Season two?
Stop.
Hold on a second.
Stop.
I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying, wasn't it cool the way it went down?
So are you guys watching Game of Thrones?
Who isn't?
So who's king? Is it Joffrey?
It just started.
So good.
Are you guys watching Mad Men season?
No, stop.
Done with Meghan or
Ben. I had no idea.
Did you guys see him in the new season of Dexter?
Michael C. Hall in the van?
Spoiler alert.
Don't spoil it.
True Blood?
Same subject.
Same scene when Tara turns into
same
a vampire.
Subject. Mm-mm.
Okay, what about Downton Abbey? The special was wonderful.
Oh, shut up.
Homeland.
Stop
so
it.
So Sergeant Brody and Claire Danes hooked up yet?
Stop it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, what's something we've all
okay,
seen?
Okay, 6 feet under. We can all talk about
not
that.
Tell
Michael C. Hall.
So Mike, today I watched a Matthew Vaughn movie in which an older actor is a father figure to a main character, and then that older actor dies, and that main character has to get revenge, and then many of the fight sequences are set to popular music. But enough about Kick-Ass.
God damn it. That was wonderful. Yeah, let's talk about Kingsman instead. Wow, I didn't even notice that. You're right. Well, we should talk about the music.
Yeah, so basically my favorite scene of the movie is Colin Firth in a church.
In a church.
Destroying everything.
Just murdering tons of people.
It's an incredible action sequence.
It is.
Most of it, it's made to look like it's all done in like one take.
Right, which I think is the camera movement thing.
Yeah, it's part of what
it's
you're
talking
about.
It's all making sense now,
yeah. Most of it looks like it's done in one take, even though it's probably not.
I would assume not.
But there's so much going on. There's so much like intense choreography.
Yeah.
And it's playing Freebird.
The solo from Freebird.
Yeah. And it's incredible.
And it's, yeah. That was that was the best.
Yeah. That's there's so much like crazy, like over the top stylization in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is really good. In the opening credits of the movie, it's a building exploding while Money for Nothing by Dire Straits is playing.
Yep.
And as the building explodes, the rubble from the building forms the opening credits.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
That was a beautiful way to set up what was going to be the rest of this movie.
Yeah. Like that's kind of perfectly did it.
Yeah.
And then you briefly mentioned heads exploding.
I did. Yeah.
So at the end of this movie, everyone's head explodes.
So I guess we could explain it.
Yeah.
Part of Samuel Jackson's maniacal plot, he put implants in everybody's head, and on his command, people who disobey him, he could blow up their heads.
Right. And at the end of the movie, Mark Strong hacks into their heads and basically explodes everybody with an implant in their head.
Yeah.
And it's this beautiful...
And it's not the scanners. It's the complete opposite of the scanners head explosion.
It's the interview.
It is the interview. You're right. You're so right.
Call back to episode one.
Whoa.
Yes, it's basically the interview.
Yeah, but they explode. So, like, colorful plumes of smoke.
Yeah, it's
set
like
to classical music.
Yeah, and it's like a fireworks display. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
They blow up President Obama's head.
They do. Obama's head blows up into like a purple cloud.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Really strange.
It was very bizarre. So that's our review of The Kingsman.
So there's a lot of stuff like that in the movie. It's very overtly stylized.
Goofy.
Just over the top, as much as a Bond film as it can possibly be.
Right.
And, I think it does it really well.
Yeah, there's just one scene, though, with Gazelle, the henchwoman with the sword legs. Sword feet, that's what you called it.
Sword feet.
Sword feet. Where we establish that her sword feet are sharp enough to cut through a machine gun, and then Eggy, or whatever, Eggsy, the main character's, blocks her arm with his leg. It's like, that would cut a gun in half a second ago. How did you block that? That doesn't make any sense. So that happened.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right, Mr. Continuity over
here. Sorry.
Spoiling everybody's
Doesn't ruin it at all. But mainly, see this for the head explosions.
Come for the Colin Firth whacking on people.
Yeah.
Stay for the head explosions.
Stay for the head explosions. But it was weird. I will give Matthew Vaughn the pass on his stylistic choice to let everyone's head explode in colorful plumes of smoke, despite Mark Hamill, who's in this. When his head explodes, it's like graphic and like bloody. And then now everyone else at the end, their heads are smoke.
That's very true.
But it was for comedic effects.
But yes, Mark Hamill is in this movie.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It was great. Yeah, I haven't seen him in anything.
It's been a long time since I've seen live-action Mark Hamill.
Since Chainsaw Bob Strike Back when he plays Bong Man.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's the Cock Knocker.
The Cock Knocker. In Chainsaw Bob Strike Back.
Yeah.
But yeah, this like it's a good prep to see it for Star Wars.
For Star Wars, it's his comeback.
Like, yeah, he didn't look that great.
No, he didn't. He looks pretty scraggly.
But it's weird because he's doing a British accent, but his British accent sounds exactly like his Joker voice.
Yeah, just toned down the crazy a little
just
bit.
Just toned it down a little bit.
He's basically the same accent. But whatever, it sounded cool. I mean,
it was just cool to see Mark Hamill. He's a cool guy.
I liked, though, they make a point to talk about Eggsy's, he's got like a Cockney accent almost.
Right.
It's not really Cockney, but he's got like a street British accent compared to Colin Firth's, Shakespearean classical accent. And, he said, it's not the accent that makes the man, it's what you say or something like that.
Right.
And then when Michael Caine's character dies, he reverts back to, for the whole movie, he's in the classical accent, and then as he's dying, he turns into a Cockney accent. I thought that was a cool touch.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. It's smart. Yeah. I like that.
Analysis.
And I've seen a couple people say that this movie doesn't treat women very well.
Yeah, no, not there's one, and she's a villain. Well, there's two.
Well, there's a henchwoman. She's awesome.
She's awesome, but she's cool. Not.
And
real, I don't know. Yeah.
I think there's might be an argument there, but I feel like this movie generally, like, there's not that many women in the movie. For reals, and but the ones that are there basically kick ass throughout, or at least the henchwoman does.
Yeah, she does.
Roxy.
I forgot about Roxy.
Yeah, Roxy does not really factor that much into the final battle, even though she probably should.
She should, and a review pointed out that she only, fulfills her. She becomes all badass only because Eggsy encourages her to.
That's true.
So she doesn't get there on her own.
Yeah,
Eggsy's mom is useless.
Yeah, but that's honestly to be expected from Mark Millar.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot of his stuff is like that.
Yeah, even Hit Girl is the same thing as Gazelle. She's like this fantastical version of a woman that could never exist.
Sure. I mean, Hit Girl's like 12 years old.
Regardless. But with the ultraviolence.
But I think Roxy was generally a good presence in the movie, at least. And she doesn't really factor that much into the finale, but she does have a role to play
a huge
in the climax.
Yeah,
she does blow up that satellite.
Exactly.
So there's that, at least. You know?
True.
But in any case, outside of that, I think Kingsman's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Matthew Vaughn is doing great work.
Mm-hmm. paired with the upcoming release of Man from U.N.C.L.E. that we saw the trailer for, yeah, the by guy, a new Guy Ritchie movie.
The Guy Ritchie. That's originally Man from U.N.C.L.E. was going to be Steven Soderbergh.
Real what?
Yeah, that was actually a thing, and he ended up dropping that once. I think he dropped it, and then he retired from film. From he's doing film. He's doing the Nick now,
right?
But and then Guy Ritchie picked it up, and so now that's a thing now. So that's cool. I mean, Matthew Vaughn's obviously not producing The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
No, but I meant in terms of these, we're getting these throwback to 60s, 70s.
Yeah, it's actually weird that Matthew Vaughn and Guy Ritchie both did...
these types of movies at the same time.
Yeah, it's actually kind of weird.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Maybe we'll have a revival in these kind of just doofy...
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I'm as excited as anybody about the new James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Because Daniel Craig has basically cemented himself as my favorite Bond.
I could say that.
So, I mean, I'm excited for Spectre. Sam Mendes come back to direct that.
Mm-hmm.
And Skyfall was amazing. So, you know, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
So who knows what'll happen.
Yeah, and I think I remember thinking Skyfall kind of embraced some of the older Bond elements a little bit more.
Yeah, or at least paid homage.
Paid homage, at least. But I think they're getting less afraid to go a little goofy.
Yeah.
Which and I loved Casino Royale. That was a super serious movie.
That was very dark,
very like dark and brooding and gritty.
Yeah,
you know, mid-2000s reboot.
Right, classic mid-2000s.
Yeah, you know, I think Skyfall they kind of embraced the fantasticality of Bond a little bit more, and I hope to see a little bit more of that in Spectre, and then maybe we'll have some crazy nonsense going on.
What
and,
if they? No, not even gonna say it. Never mind.
What
if they have the Kingsman fit with James Bond?
Crossover universe.
It's happening.
It's all that happens now.
Yeah.
All we have is cinematic
it's franchises.
Universe.
That's all
we have is cinematic universe. We don't even have franchises anymore. We have cinematic universes.
Yeah.
Nothing can exist on its own.
That's right.
Now Spider-Man's in the MCU.
All we need is Detective Munch to show up in one movie, Marvel movie.
And then everything
is connected.
That has ever been made is connected.
Yeah. All the way from Fringe. And The Wire.
Saying Elsewhere.
Yeah, all of this Law and Orders.
Yeah, Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and there was a Law and Order actor on Community once playing the character from Law and Order. So that
connects. So Community's in.
Community's in.
And then all of the Marvel Universe movies.
Yeah.
Wow. And then James Bond and Kingsman.
And then just throw those guys in there.
Yeah, I want that to happen.
Godzilla can show up.
Yeah, what I want. All I need is Ken Watanabe to say, "We called him Godzilla." That's it. I would watch that movie for 2.5 hours.
Just with that
just
line.
That loop. The loop of that.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps up our review.
Oh, yeah. The Kingsman. That's
Kingsman,
right.
The Secret Service.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts before we move on to our recommendations, Mike?
I want people to see it. I hope that you go in expecting just over-the-top action things, but also really funny stuff. So
yeah. I mean, I definitely like to see some more of this kind of movie.
Yeah. I hope this is a success.
Yeah, and I want Matthew Vaughn to keep working, because I think he does great stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that's going to be a problem.
No.
I mean, Kick-Ass didn't do too well at the box office, but he did X-Men First Class.
Which
I'm sure did big. I don't remember the exact numbers.
Yeah.
Because that was like 4 years ago. But I'm sure it did good.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's actually, I think that's my favorite X-Men movie. In all of those. So,
but you know what? I've just realized we could mention or talk about that this movie was delayed for like
Kingsman was delayed
eight months. Yeah, it was supposed to come out in the summer.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah, and then they pushed it back to February, and I think it worked. I think I don't know.
Yeah,
it seems like this has gotten way bigger than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, people seem really excited about this movie. Actually,
yeah.
Like I've met a lot of people who've just been like, "Oh, I got to see Kingsman. Got to see Kingsman."
Yeah, I originally thought it was going to be like a young adult spy thing. Like when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, whatever, it's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I was like, got pushed back. I was like, oh, that movie's dead. And then they put out some really awesome trailers showing all of the older people, like Mark Strong and Michael Caine and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I still heard it was rated R, and I was like, what? This doesn't make sense. And now it's what it is now.
Yes. So. Well, you know what? Speaking of movies that were long delayed.
Wow.
Into February.
Okay. This is episode 2, The Segue.
Yes, this episode is just filled with great segues.
Yeah, good job.
Speaking of movies that were long delayed into February that we thought were going to be terrible, although I never doubted Kingsman. I never doubted this one either, but I was wrong about this one.
But maybe you should have.
We're going to move on to our recommendations for the week.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily going to be a recommendation for me, but with Mike, I know for a fact.
This is a recommendation.
Quite a recommendation. So I'll go first since I segued into mine.
Okay.
So there's a couple movies I wanted to talk about. The first one was Whiplash, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
The Babadook, which was great.
Yeah.
And I took your advice and I saw Frank, which is also really funny. Oh,
thanks, man.
But the movie that I want to talk about is a movie by Andy and Lana Wachowski.
Yeah.
It's called Jupiter Ascending.
Hmm.
It stars Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis.
It does.
And it's the worst.
Oh, my God. Just straight up the worst.
So I'm a huge fan of Andy and Lana Wachowski.
Right.
You know, I think their movies are generally amazing. Like, or not generally amazing.
They've had some really good ones.
Andy and Lana Wachowski have made 6 movies before Jupiter Ascending.
Okay.
And I would say at least 3 of them are masterpieces.
Yeah.
And those 3 are Bound, The Matrix, and Cloud Atlas.
So not all 3 of the Matrix movies.
No.
Ah, damn.
Yeah, The Matrix, The Matrix Reloaded, and The Matrix Revolutions. <That's right. laughs> No. Bound, no. The Matrix, Cloud Atlas,
uh-huh.
I think are some of the best movies out there, like in their respective genres.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud Atlas, I think, is one of the best, possibly my favorite movie of the last decade.
I still got to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
You really have to. It's possibly my favorite movie of the last decade. And they also made Speed Racer, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Matrix Reloaded, I think, has problems, but it's fun.
But it's still good.
And Revolutions is terrible. I'll give you that one. Yeah, no, that's that. Revolutions is really bad. Jupiter Ascending is almost as bad as Matrix Revolutions.
Wow. Really? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to Jupiter Ascending, especially coming off of Cloud Atlas. Like, that movie is incredible. And Jupiter Ascending stars Channing Tatum. Jupiter Ascending stars Channing Tatum
mm-hmm.
as a man whose DNA was spliced with a wolf.
Okay.
So he's a hybrid wolf man.
Yeah.
It also features space lizards.
Okay.
And it also has Sean Bean as a man whose DNA was spliced with a bee.
What?
And somehow, this movie's really boring.
Yeah, what? Although that plot without the characters sounds like a 1960s like or 50s Ed Wood movie.
That's actually a really good analogy.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, I think there's some good ideas here. There's like the seeds of a good movie here.
Uh-huh.
And the Wachowskis still have a great visual eye.
Right.
Like, their action, much like Matthew Vaughn's action, like, it's a very different style of action. Mm-hmm. Like, theirs was
but
more,
it is stylized.
Yeah, it is stylized, and theirs is more effects-driven.
Mm-hmm.
But they have great, like, they are really good at creating, like, fantastical set pieces.
Right.
And I think there's one really good one early in the movie in Chicago featuring Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis. Outside of that, it's pretty generic.
Okay.
Okay, so Mila Kunis is super miscast.
Really?
For this role. She's terrible.
I was going to say, but, like, there's big people in this, like, good actors, and they just can't save it.
I generally like Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's good in Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she has that much range as an actress. Like, she can pretty much play, like, you know, bad girl
mm-hmm.
or, like, you know, smart ass or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, this role requires her to be like the wide-eyed savior of the universe.
Okay. Not so much.
She's so bad at it.
She can't do it.
First of all, she's the most unrealistically hot janitor of all time.
What? She's a janitor?
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't okay.
Yeah. On Earth, her life is that she is a cleaning person with her mom and her
family,
her like Russian immigrant family.
Okay.
And it's all the stuff on Earth is like embarrassingly bad.
Wow.
Like, there's this weird subplot where her brother is trying to convince her to sell one of her eggs for money.
What the fuck? Okay.
And in that scenario, he's getting most of the money and she's not.
She's not getting any of it.
And it doesn't make any sense. There's no reason for that.
Yeah.
And also, but then, you know, Channing Tatum shows up and you think, oh, he's going to save it. And there's this one part at the beginning of the movie where Channing Tatum's, like, trying to track Mila Kunis down.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, finds a piece of paper and he sniffs it. Like a wolf would.
Right, makes sense.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I was on board with that. I was
that's
like, oh,
cool.
That's an interesting use. And never again in the movie does he use his wolf powers
what?
For anything.
That makes sense.
He just
basically he's in it for the pointy ears.
This is a movie with Wolfman Tatum on hover boots.
Wow.
And
make that movie.
And I was bored throughout. Like,
that's so
and
weird.
Then the villain of the movie
uh-huh.
is played by Eddie Redmayne.
Right. Theory of Everything.
Theory of Everything. I have no idea what movie he thought he was in. So basically, Eddie Redmayne is the villain of the movie.
Yeah.
And
is he like overacting and stuff?
Dude.
Yes. That's amazing.
Dude, this is.
He thinks he's in like some Shakespearean space
this
opera.
This is Jeremy Irons in Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
Level bad.
Oh my God.
There is. So basically, Eddie Redmayne will say every line of literally every line of dialogue Eddie Redmayne has in this movie. Is spoken in this hushed whisper.
Oh, God, no.
Until it's time for him to shout!
That's awesome. Wow.
It's super, like,
so don't see Jupiter Ascending is what you're saying.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, I think if you're interested in the movie and you love the Wachowskis like I do, I would say it's worth checking out because it's
just an experience.
It's the Wachowskis. But man, it is a...
Do they use bullet time?
There's probably some slow-mo in there. I don't really remember. Oh, there's no bullet time.
That's lame.
They haven't used bullet time since Matrix.
No, they should. That's my thought.
I mean, that seems like... The bullet time seems like a one-and-done kind of thing. And then also, there's going to be slightly spoilery for Jupiter Ascending.
We're already past that. Whatever. Let it happen.
All right. So there's this mid-film homage to Brazil.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah. So basically, like, midway through the film, this guy shows up and says, like, oh, we have to go through this bureaucratic stuff. This
right.
Bit. And there's, like, a five-minute interlude where it's just Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis, and this robot guy
right.
Going through different bureaucracy lines.
What?
And it's this weird... It's an homage to Brazil.
Yeah.
And it's clearly an homage to Brazil because Terry Gilliam cameos in the homage.
What? I don't know what to say.
It's so bizarre. And it's a completely different movie for those 5 minutes.
It's a five-minute short film in the middle of this movie.
Yeah, it does not fit in with the rest of the movie at all. It's odd.
That doesn't make sense.
And, you know, I'm usually on board with weird and odd stuff.
Yeah.
This didn't make any
just
sense.
Just didn't work.
Didn't work at all. Just general Jupiter Ascending is just a giant, like, failure. And I love the Wachowski so much, and I'm really upset that this movie is doing really
so
poorly.
So disappointed.
Because, you know, their last three movies have bombed spectacularly.
Yeah. I think I heard that they're trying to get in talks with Netflix, actually.
They are making a show for Netflix, Sense8.
Right.
With J. Michael Straczynski, who is the creator of, I think, Babylon 5.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like a sci-fi show they're doing for Netflix, which I'm excited about.
That's cool.
Like, this movie didn't do anything to deter my love for the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
But I was really upset by watching this
movie.
Yeah,
the person that wrote the article that I read about them joining up with Netflix is that it might be them realizing they're never going to get studio support again. And they just need...
That's honestly what it is.
It seems like that.
Like, the last three movies have bombed pretty badly. Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas, and now this.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud Atlas was mostly funded by them.
Okay.
Like, it was probably distributed by a studio, but I think they, like, were able to get most of the funding themselves.
Okay.
But still, like, Speed Racer is a lot of fun. Like, that...
I haven't seen that in a very long time.
Speed Racer is a movie that literally everyone I talked to when I saw that movie said that was the worst thing they ever saw.
But you held out.
I held out, and I loved it.
All right.
And now it's that movie's getting its due now. Like, a few years later, people are, like, reevaluating
it.
People are reevaluating, coming back to it, and being like, that was fun. That was pretty good.
So maybe that'll happen with Jupiter Ascending.
Maybe, although...
Probably not.
This time, I don't like Jupiter Ascending, whereas I liked Speed Racer from the beginning. So,
who knows?
Who knows, man?
Time will tell.
Yeah, it's a rough time. But enough about that.
So now we're going to move on to a movie about a man who went through a very rough time.
Oh, man. Segways.
Segways. That was way weaker than all of yours. But so my recommendation is John Wick.
All right.
Came out last year, and it's directed by Chad Stahelski and David Leitch, who were the choreographers on the original Matrix. Was it the whole trilogy or just the first one?
It's probably all three.
Probably all three.
Yeah.
So the plot of John Wick is very short, and it is about a man, John Wick, Keanu Reeves. Forgot to say that. Keanu Reeves plays John Wick, whose wife dies within the first 30 seconds of the movie.
Right.
And then his car gets stolen and his dog gets killed in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And then he just murders people for the whole rest of the runtime.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
Yeah. We were both big fans of John Wick, if I recall correctly.
We even saw it in IMAX, which is ridiculous. But we did. It's another highly stylized action movie. Seems to be a trend.
Yeah, it seems to be the topic of the day.
Yeah. I am in love with everything about this movie.
Yeah.
And I can't really explain it. It's a basic, this has the material to be a really shitty movie. It's like just another rote action movie of a man with nothing left to lose goes on a revenge rampage. But there's just something different about this one, I think. And I think it's the fact that all of the plot happens in the first 20 minutes.
Right.
They get all that out of the way. They're not pretending to be anything besides Keanu Reeves murdering people.
it delivers what it promises.
Yeah, and it nails it on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we were both big fans of that movie, and the world building in John Wick is so
good. That's the most interesting part. So if you go in, if you watch this movie and you're expecting anything else besides people killing each other, you're going to be let down. But on top of that, being instead of just capitalizing on being like that basic plot, they put the audience into this bizarre underground New York criminal world where they all kind of live by a code, and the world building was the coolest part. Like, on top, I mean, the action's the coolest part, but in terms of actual movie things, the world building was the best part of the movie. There's a hotel called the Continental where, you know, it's run by management, quote unquote, and everyone knows who management is, but they never talk. No one ever says who it is in the movie.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot to explore in John Wick, which, and they've been talking about doing. The directors of this movie have been talking about doing a sequel.
Yeah,
in John Wick.
I think they're in talks, or they have begun writing without actually having. There's no deal or anything.
It's kind of just like conversations right now.
Yeah, there's no deal or anything, but they do want to pursue a John Wick 2.
Yeah. And I think there's actually a world here that they could potentially
There's a huge cast of characters with tons of cameos.
Yeah.
Even Willem Dafoe and Ian McShane were the advertised ones, so I don't feel bad about saying those. So I hope there is a second John Wick, and it's called John Wicker. It has to be. It has to be called John Wicker.
Two John, two Wick.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And it's awesome to just see Keanu Reeves kicking ass again.
Yeah, this is the leading the charge on the Keanu-sance.
Keanu-sance. We had the McConaissance.
Yeah,
now it's the Keanu-sance.
I really hope it happens now that he's cast in...
Keanu Reeves has just been cast in Nicholas Winding Refn's new movie.
Yep.
So that's awesome.
Neon Demon. Yes. So hopefully that, you know...
Yeah, I mean, that won't bring him back into the cultural spotlight, because
nobody's going to see that movie.
No mainstream moviegoers go to see Nicholas Winding Refn.
That's a good point.
Unless they got tricked into seeing Drive. But.
Also a good point. I hope you start... I mean, he's made movies. He made 47 Ronin, which was failed.
Sure. Yeah, did you see The Man of Tai Chi?
I did not see Man of Tai Chi.
Man of Tai Chi is really good. That's the movie he directed.
Right.
That's a really fun movie.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, this at least gets him back into making more things and he gets more exposure again.
Yeah.
And, I hope people see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the day.
Yeah.
So, Mike, where can people follow you on Twitter and elsewhere?
They can follow me on just Twitter. I'm not on any other place on the internet. That's a lie. But the place you can follow me is at Mick Deck on Twitter, MickDeck.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/MSmithFilmBlog. I also podcast about many, many topics, including The Walking Dead, Arrow, Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, and The Flash.
Quite a body of work you have there.
I know. And I'm doing this too.
How does he juggle it all?
Like, I just basically don't sleep ever.
Oh, fair enough.
You can find all of those on filmbook.com. They're also available on iTunes. So, you can check those out whenever you want. All right. Well,
thanks.
I guess that'll be it for the day.
Oh, my God.
That was a good ending, right?
That was great.
All right, guys. We'll see you later. So Kingsman: The Secret Service is basically...
God damn.
I wish I had stuff written down. This is what happens when
this
we
is
go
what happens?
Straight from the theater.
You were
the
so close. I thought you were good. You were sounded like you were on a train of thought. And you lost it.
The train has left the station.
Left the station without you.